You're listening to Miscarriage Stories with Arden Cartrett.
Ava, thank you so much for being here and for being willing to share your story. I am going to let you take it away. I'd love for you to introduce yourself and then share what you've been through.
So I'm Ava. I'm 20 years old. And sorry, I'm already getting emotional. My boyfriend and I found out that I was expecting September 16th of 2022. We were not trying to get pregnant or anything like that. I mean, we didn't live together at the time. But I was 5 days late, so I kind of knew something was up. And I work at a daycare, so I was around kids all the time. And I was like, I just know I'm pregnant. So I was on my lunch break and I took a test, and like within literally seconds, two dark lines pop up. And it was positive. And at that time, I look at the test and I was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Oh my God, I'm going to be a mom. And I ran to my car, called my boyfriend at the time, And I was like, hey, well, he's at work. And I called him, I was like, well, we're good. Like, we're pregnant. And immediately there's a big smile on his face. Like, he's so happy about this. I'm crying because I don't know what we're going to do. So that, like, all that happened. And then my parents found out by opening my mail up that I was pregnant from U of M. And they were not happy at the time. It only lasted for like a day though. And then after that, they're like, well, we gotta think of like names for the baby, I guess, and like what we want to be called. So within that week of them finding out, it was a lot of emotions going up and down. But towards the end of it, like, we were all just very happy, and there was no anger at all. Like, we only cared about the baby. So then I would say probably like a week afterwards, we told Jonathan's parents that I was pregnant. Very supportive, no like judgment towards us at all. I mean, my mom was pregnant at 15, his mom was pregnant at 20, so we're all like, we come from like a very young parents. But after we told his parents, about 2 days later, I started spotting. And I was spotting for about 2 days, and I noticed, I was like, this is not right. I thought it was either implantation bleeding or I was about to have a miscarriage. And so as soon as I saw the blood, I was freaking out. I was like, oh my God, like, I can't do this right now. But about a day after that, I called, because it happened on Friday, I called on Monday. I called my doctor. I was like, hey, I'm spotting. I'm just worried. And they called me in for blood work. They noticed my HCG levels were very high because I was only 4 weeks pregnant. So they were very high, and they called me in, and it was like 2000. So I had an ultrasound that next week because they want to get me in very early. And I had my boyfriend with me, and we go there, and they told me that they saw two sacs, and they were 0.05 millimeters apart. And at that time, we didn't even think of like what that meant. We thought, oh my God, we're happy twins. And we were, again, a lot of mixed emotions. We were happy, oh my God, what are we gonna do, how are we gonna afford this, basically. Because we're kids trying to raise kids, basically. And I'm going to get emotional at this part. I was still spotting at the time. And they called me back for ACG level testing again. Still very high. The next week, they called me back in. And they had me go to the Field Diagnostic Center instead of just a regular ultrasound tech. So we knew something was up. But at the time, my mom wanted to go with me. And I'm sorry. And so she came with me, and I thought, you know what? Jonathan will have so many other opportunities to see the babies, like with all these ultrasounds. And like, I had no idea that was gonna be my last ultrasound at all. So we went in there. It was 8 a.m. We went in there, and I saw the baby's heartbeat for the first time. And my mom noticed that there was two flickering back and forth. She saw one go, then the other go, and one would go, then the other one would go. So my mom didn't tell me at the time, obviously. She's like, oh my God, that looks kind of weird. Like, it looks like a bunch of cells come together. That doesn't look like a normal ultrasound. And then they showed, because I was 6 weeks at the time, so they still had a transvaginal one for me. They showed the baby, and then they showed an empty sac. So at that time, I thought, oh my God, did I lose a baby? So I was supposed to have triplets. And I'm sorry. This is going to...
Don't be sorry. Emotions are welcome here. It's kind of expected. So take your time.
So I saw the heartbeats for the first time, and like, I lost it. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have a baby. Cause I've always dreamed of being a mom. Like, I've always dreamed of it. Like, I've always been a nanny, always like, I have a huge family. So I was like, oh my God, like, my dream's coming true now. But then literally 5 minutes after that, my world like came crashing down on me. The ultrasound tech left, and the doctor came in, and we were in a dark room, and they told me, oh, it's so dark in here. Like, can you please come in this room with me? And it was a conference room. Like, I knew something was up, because I was like, if it was good news, like, we would have been good. Because, like, my mom and I already texted, like, my dad and my boyfriend, okay, like, everything's good. Like, the baby's fine and healthy, because that's what we thought. It wasn't. So they pull us into this room, and they drew a shape of my uterus, and they said that it was, it's not a normal uterus, but it's not, like, a big, like, it's not, like, a problem. Because the nurse first told me, there's so much that happened within this short amount of time. Like, before even, like, my second ultrasound appointment, the nurse over the phone told me that I had an ectopic pregnancy before going into work. So I was bawling my eyes out. Like, I couldn't stop crying. And then my doctor called me back, oh, you're not ectopic pregnancy, you're fine. And I'm like, you cannot play with, like, that kind of word. Because that was my biggest fear at the time, of having ectopic pregnancy. Because that's what I thought it was at first, with all this body and everything. So then that's when all the ultrasounds came in and everything. But the news that I got told was not what I was expecting at all. So she drew a baby, like a little circle. And then she drew another circle. And it was two, like, circles touching each other. And she told me that the babies were conjoined from the chest to abdomen. And when I found out, I was like, I didn't have any reaction, because I'm still processing all the information that was getting told to me. Like, my mom immediately started crying. She was like, what is, like, the survival chance? What's this? Like, she was answering all the questions, like, asking all the questions for me, because I didn't know what to ask. And the doctor kept saying, because I'm already a high-risk pregnancy, because I have epilepsy, and we have preeclampsia in my family. And she's like, well, Ava would be in the hospital basically throughout all the pregnancy. The babies would be in the hospital. She said the babies probably wouldn't make it to birth. She said I was probably still be delivering stillborns. So at that time, that's when I lost it. And I was like, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing. Because I was at the top hospital for all this. Like, she has delivered conjoined twins before, but they were back to back. So it's easier to get them, like, separated. But since mine were sharing organs, they weren't sharing a heart, but they were sharing organs. So you can't really separate them without them passing away. So all I asked was, can they be separated? And the doctor grabbed my hand. And she's like, I'm so sorry, honey. She's like, there's nothing we can do. And, like, in that moment, no one prepares you for that. I'm sorry. I just remember just bawling my eyes out. Because I was in a children's hospital as it was. So after they told us that we can either continue the pregnancy or we can end it with the pill or a DMC. And, like, I already knew, like, I could not do that to the babies. I can't, like, I'm already a very sensitive person too, as it is. And I was like, I cannot imagine delivering a stillborn, like, stillborns and having a funeral for them. Like, I just could not imagine that. So I'm already made the decision that I was going to do the pill. And as I'm leaving the room, I see, like, three babies. And, like, I'm just, like, I'm crying the whole time in the elevator. My mom's crying. And I called my sister first to tell her. And she told me, she was like, Ava, you cannot, like, have those kids suffer. I'm like, I know. And the hardest part is I couldn't do anything about it. Like I already had, like, hopes of becoming a mother. And I already, okay, I'm a mom. I got to protect these kids. I do this, I do that. And at this time, I felt so helpless. And I felt like I fell as a human in that moment. Because, like, it's just very hard, because knowing that you can't do anything to prevent that. It's 1 in 250,000 chance of this happening. So then I get home, and it's about 9 a.m. at this point. And I call my boyfriend to tell him he's at work. And I was like, listen, I'm not trying to pull you from work, but I got to tell you something. I wanted to wait till we were in person, but I couldn't. Like, I just couldn't hold it in any longer. And I told him that the babies were conjoined and our options were this. And he left work. He works an hour away. So he picked me up. We both were crying, but we both know that we needed to end the pregnancy. So the babies aren't, well, I don't feel the pain, and the babies don't have to live their life in a hospital. And then we just kept going over, like, they will never have a normal school life. They won't be able to play sports. We would be out of work. And, like, basically the kids would just be in the hospital all their lives. And so we came to the decision to end the pregnancy. And at that point, it was very hard for me because I was still carrying them. Like, I carried them for 3 more weeks after that appointment. And it felt like torture to me. It was complete torture. Because I'm carrying these babies knowing they're not going to make it. Like, no matter what I do, they're not going to make it. So the doctors and I were talking. Like, we have appointments and everything about this pill. And, like, well, you know, Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood didn't have any openings until like 3 weeks after. So I was like, okay, like, either way, I'm stuck carrying these babies. So they made me sign a release form from like our like mission.gov website. And I clicked like medical termination, and the whole like reading it was the hardest thing ever. I broke down reading it because it was, you're unfit to be a parent, you're unfit to care for a child, like you're not responsible. And it's like, for me, like, I would give anything to have these babies right now. But I literally can't do anything about it at all. So after that, I signed the papers and everything, gave it to my doctor, and about a week goes by, I stopped taking my prenatals because I was like, I cannot let these babies get any bigger. I'm already 8 weeks. I can't let them get any bigger. And it just felt like, sometimes I wish I didn't do that, because I feel more guilt today of doing that. Because now I'm like, oh my God, like, what if I didn't, like, what if I did take those prenatals? Like, would it have stopped everything? Like, in my mind, like, I'm like, in my heart, that's what it felt like. But my mind's like, no, like, it wouldn't have changed anything. So about that week, my boyfriend and I were moving into our first apartment, and we're getting everything set up for it. And then on move-in day, October 15th of 2022, I started having heavy bleeding, and I knew that I was going to have a miscarriage, and I felt cramping. And then around, this is all around like 4 p.m., like, his mom would not let me carry anything, would not let me touch anything, because she didn't want me to hurt myself. So it was during the day, and then at night, I was back at my parents' house, and around like 12 a.m., I noticed some very like painful cramping. And it was like very intense cramping. And I called my doc, like, I called the emergency line. I was like, this is my cramping. I'm bleeding. Like, this is like, am I having a miscarriage? And they said, you most likely are. Just give it time, take Tylenol. And like, I'm laying in bed by myself with a heating pad. I'm like, how am I going through this at 20 years old? I just don't want anyone my age that has gone through this. And this, I remember this night so, like, I just remember it so clearly. I was laying down on my bed watching New Girl, and I like felt a clot come out of me. I ran to the bathroom, and there was just blood everywhere. And I remember screaming for my mom. I was like, mom. I was like, please come help me. I was like, I'm losing the babies. And she's like, what? And she comes running up the stairs. And I feel so guilty for this. But I did not want to look in the toilet, because I did not want to see. I had in my mind, they were babies. It's like, when you think of a baby, like, you think of a full grown baby. I was like, I can't look at them. Like, I couldn't do it anymore. And my mom looked, and she's like, okay, I'm gonna flush the toilet now. So she flushed it, and she's like, it's okay, honey, it's okay. And she's kissing my head. She goes, Ava, as much as it sounds messed up, we wanted a miscarriage instead of me taking the pill. So the babies knew that they were not healthy, and they were not okay. Because I was I was having a hard time trying to convince myself to take the pill, and it was okay to take the pill, when like I knew I couldn't do it. But during the miscarriage, like that night, I did not sleep the whole night. Like, I still had clots come, like, out of, like, I had clots the size of a tennis ball, and I like lost it. Like, I was bleeding so much. I was so scared that I had to go to the ER. And I think the hardest part about it all is that no one talks about how lonely it is and how traumatizing it is. Because before I had my miscarriage, I was like, oh, like I feel like miscarriage was very uncommon before mine. And after mine, I found out a lot of people have had miscarriages, but it's not talked about at all. And like till this day, I'm struggling with depression about all of this. I'm sorry. Because it's always that factor of like, if I would have done this, would this be differently? Like, if, like, could I change the outcome? And it's hard knowing that you can't. And it doesn't help that I don't have many supporters around me. I have people that are like, you shouldn't have been like even close to pregnant. You shouldn't have been doing this. You shouldn't be doing that. But I was like, that's the last thing I want to hear during this time. Like, during this time, I want to hear, no, it's okay to feel how you feel. It's okay how you grieve. But right, like, still at today, like, I have like no supporters. Like, I only have like my boyfriend and his family and some of my friends. But I don't, like, I really did not realize like how lonely it is, because no one knows that pain of like the cramping, like you had to flush the toilet. And I think that's the hardest part, that I had to flush that toilet and like flush my babies away. That's how I look at it. It's like, I'm flushing them away. Like that's something no one should ever have to do. And I called my doctor. I was like, well, I had, like, this was 2 days before my appointment to get the pill. And I told her, I was like, I had a miscarriage. You know, this is what happened. She was like, okay, well, you have to go for an ultrasound now to make sure it's all gone. And like, that's the last thing I wanted to do, was to go see if my babies were gone. So that Monday they got me in, and I was like, I don't want to see the ultrasound screen at all. And they didn't show me the screen, but they had to print off pictures, and I was laying next to where the pictures printed off, and I saw the pictures of my empty uterus, and I was like, they're gone. Like, it's empty in there. And I already, like, I knew I had, like, I knew they were gone, but I didn't realize, like, once you see it in a picture versus all the ultrasound pictures I have, it really makes me feel like I did something wrong and how empty it is. And it's just a very hard subject, because working at a daycare, like, during all of this, I had to tell my work, I was like, this is what's going on. I had no choice but to tell them, because I missed 3 years of work, because I could not bring myself around to be around kids right now or be by babies right now. Because that was like that was my main concern of like me being with the babies. I can't do it, because we have twins at my daycare. I'm like, I can't do that. And it's just a very, very hard thing to go through if you don't have people that have been through it by you. And just like all the being around pregnant people does not help. Because I have one of my cousins, she's due in May, and I was due in May. And like, you look at pictures of her It's like, oh, I should look like that right now. Like, I should be pregnant right now. And I think just fighting that in my head has done a lot of damage to me. Just crying nonstop. Just looking at the ultrasound pictures. Because, again, I'm a very sensitive person as it is. So I took this a lot harder. Of, like, what could we have done to prevent all of this? When, in reality, there's nothing we could have done. There's nothing we could have, like, even tried to do. Because there was only a 60% chance of them surviving outside of the womb. And then there's only a 3% chance of them surviving the separation surgery. So either way, it was a loss. And like, it was a loss. And I definitely think miscarriage is not very talked about when it should be. Because, again, once you come forward that you had a miscarriage, you'll have like 10 other people say, oh yeah, I had one too. And I feel like you never know what a miscarriage feels like unless you've had one. And you don't know what that grief is until you've had one. Because right now, I'm trying to still get past the grief part. Because I was good until, like the holidays really made it harder for me. Like, seeing all, like, the baby bumps and everything, it's like, oh, like, this is very hard. Like, I, again, in my mind, I should be pregnant right now. And that's where I'm, like, I'm dreading the month of May. Because, like I'm never going to forget them. I know that. But, again, it's like, I don't want to, like, let that completely consume what I think about. And it is. Because you just never know how to grieve it at all. Especially within 4 weeks of finding out you're pregnant. You're so excited for it. Then you find out, oh my God, I have my first ultrasound. Again, so excited for it. And then you find out, okay, something's not right. And then you find out your babies are conjoined. And then you had a miscarriage. Like, to me, it's unfair. And it's just because I knew my partner and I, like, would make such good parents. And I think, like, I have, like, regret of him not being at the last appointment. Like, I regret him not seeing the heartbeats. Like, I have a lot of, like, I should have done this, I should have done that, I should have done this. But I had no idea what the news I was going to get. So I think that's still the hardest part for me. Is I should have had him with me. I should have done this. I should have done that. And I think it's just very hard to actually grieve it all together.
Yeah. And I want to make sure, because it sounds like you know on some level, like, nothing I could have done would have changed this outcome. But of course we have those thoughts, right? Like, of course we're like, well, maybe if I would have taken this prenatal instead of this one, or if I wouldn't have had coffee, or if I would have, whatever it is, you could not have changed the outcome. So if you need another voice saying that, I am here to echo that as many times, because that's such a normal reaction to whenever death happens within your body. You know, it's such a unique type of loss, but you're right. Everybody says, well, it's so common, but that doesn't make it okay. You know, no. Just because something happens to a lot of people doesn't make it not sad or more fair than, you know, it's just kind of bizarre for that to be written off.
Like the whole, like, oh, it's a blessing in disguise. I'm like, it's not like a blessing at all.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just a very hard thing to go through, especially just being alone. Because when my boyfriend's at work, all I think about is like, oh my gosh. And I had the picture of the babies in my living room. And I look at it, I'm like, because like every time I sit down, I just look at it. But I can't bring myself to put it away because I'm like, I can't do that. Like, I can't stop thinking about it, but I cannot put that picture away.
Yeah, of course, of course. And even if that picture being up for the rest of your life, being somewhere where you can see it, that's a valid thing to do. Those are your babies and such a traumatic loss. And you're right, even though you have your family members that are really supportive, it's still a very isolating experience. And people don't get it unless they get it. And that sucks.
Like people try to say, well, look at all these other women who've had miscarriages, who've had this, who've had that. They've gone through so much more than you. They've gone through this. Like your experience doesn't necessarily mean you've gone through stuff, but it doesn't mean you've been through that much. But it's like, everybody has their own feelings about everything,
right?
And you can't change how they feel about it. But I think the biggest lesson I've learned is it's okay how I feel. Mm-hmm. I'm entitled to everything how I feel. And I think the hardest part is just people not understanding that the grief is the longest part of it.
Yeah. Well, you're in good company because here we understand that, and we're here to echo, you know, that you are allowed to grieve for as long as possible, mm-hmm. even if that is the rest of your life. You know, it is such a big loss, no matter how long you're pregnant,
mm-hmm.
or how many babies you were pregnant with, or any of the conditions. You know, that's all so difficult.
Yeah, I think the hardest part was like, oh, I was supposed to have 3 babies. Wow. So like, I have none.
Yeah.
And I think just going through that big, like, oh my God, I have to be ready. I'm going to have twins. Got to do this, got to do that. To, oh, okay. This is how it is now. Yeah. Because like at that point, I was about 10 weeks and I miscarried them. And because I moved in, well, I was at my parents' house, and then I moved out within the end of my miscarriage. My miscarriage lasted 2 weeks. Like, the bleeding stopped around the 2-week mark. And I think that the hard part was, like, the bleeding. It's like, okay, why am I still bleeding when I'm not pregnant? And it's like, I was mad for the longest time of, like, why did this happen to me? Because, I know I didn't deserve it. I know I don't deserve what's happening. Like, why is this happening to me? Like, I would have been a great mother to these children. And just, like the anger part was a lot of the time during my miscarriage. And now it's just more of the sad times of, like, I'm, like, only 5 months away from my due date. Like, I should be fine. Like, I should know the gender by now. It's just all of that just now coming up. And just because I signed up for all these baby programs, and yeah. I took my spam to like delete some of them, and just like, oh, like you are this many weeks today. You're, and I'm like, I thought I stopped it, yeah. But it's like a constant trigger for me, and it's awful. It's awful.
Horrible. I know that many people listening will relate to that because that's a big one.
It's just like, and plus like I looked at my doctor's notes because I had sent over to my primary care. And I'm like, I do not want to do this. Like to me, it still feels like a very bad nightmare. When it's not, it's reality. I mean, I know it's gonna make me a stronger person and all that, but I think I'm still like, do I want to get pregnant again? Do I want to go through this again? Mm-hmm. Even though they told me that the chance of the conjoined twins happening again is very, very low. It's like a once in a lifetime thing. But I still have that thought of like, oh my gosh, if I have that gene for conjoined twins, I don't want to keep going through this.
Yeah.
Because at first I was like, oh my gosh, I need to try again for another baby. I need this and do that. But like a month later, I was like, I can't have another baby right now. I can't imagine being pregnant right now with my mental state about all this. Like all the what ifs, all the, okay, if I miscarry, what am I going to do now? So I think that's like the hardest part of it. It's like, do I want to try again or no? Because you never you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. I wish my husband and I often ask each other really silly questions. And mine is always like, what superpower would you want to have? And mine is always to know what's going to happen in the future. Mm-hmm. It would make life a little bit easier to deal with the anxiety. And I feel like going back to after my own experience with loss, the not knowing if I was going to experience more loss and what that would look like, it would just eat me alive. It's a really scary feeling to think about trying to conceive after loss.
Like for me, again, I had no idea what a miscarriage would even look like, what it feel like. Like for me, I thought a miscarriage was a miscarriage. Because again, I was not used to any of it.
Right.
Until like that moment when you lose the baby, you flush the baby. Like all these emotions, like, oh my gosh, like this should be talked about more, because I feel like a lot of people are probably suffering in silence right now, and how it's not common, but in honestly, it's 1 in 4 women. Yeah. Like most pregnancies end in miscarriages. I think that the statistic, sorry, I have a speech impediment. I think is not talked about enough, in my opinion.
Agreed. I share that opinion.
Because I told my boyfriend, I was like, you think with the science today, the technology we have today, like it would like my babies would be here, like they could separate the babies in the womb. And he was like, Ava, like it doesn't work like that. I'm like, well, it should.
Yeah. In a perfect world.
Yeah. Sadly. Yeah.
Ava, thank you so much for sharing your story and for being so vulnerable, because I know it's not easy to talk about it, but it is so necessary. Mm-hmm. So I hope it was helpful for you to talk about it, and yes, I hope it's helpful to know.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. And I know that so many people listening to this are going to have that empathy for you that you need to have, you know, with healing, mm-hmm. but also they're going to relate to so many things that you shared. So again, thank you for using your voice to come on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.